have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34. I want you to notice we're going to start in chapter 33, verses 18 through 20. I want to draw your attention. I put in the outline, Jacob sidestepped the will of God. Now, I use that word sidestep because somebody tell me the difference between sidestepping and getting out of the will of God. Somebody tell me that. Okay, just tell me, what does sidestep mean? It means you're sort of, you're kind of taking a step to the side, but you're not trying to get way out of bounds. Okay? Jacob was trying to get close to the Lord, but he didn't really think about the way he did it. Now, follow with me. Look, if you would, in verse 18. This is Genesis 33:18. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. When he came from Paddan Aram, pitched his tent before the city. So keep in mind, he comes to this Canaanite city, and he pitches his tent there. Verse 19, and he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Now, we don't know if that was a cheap price, an expensive price, but he came to this city, Canaanites, and he bought a piece of land. Then, when I say sidestepped, it's not like he was trying to get all the way out of the will of God. He builds an altar to worship the Lord. He wants the Lord in his life. He wants to do what is right. But he buys a piece of land in Canaan. And does anybody can tell me some of the things about the people of Canaan? They worship false gods, Baal. They worship all kinds of different gods. And these gods are nothing to do with the great God of heaven. And so here he is. He buys a piece of land and sets up this altar and decides he's going to park there for a while. And that's the beginning. A sidestep of the will of God, or a turning your back on the will of God, is going to get you the same place. Big trouble. Jacob was trying to be close to the Lord, and he tried to sort of build this altar and worship the Lord. And he wanted his family to do the same thing. But when you and I get in the world, we're always going to lose something, either our heart, our family's heart, the presence of God. Because notice, if you would, in the outline, A, this is Roman numeral 1, Jacob now tries to do right, but his past evil years bring a harvest. Now, he's trying to do what's right, but he's still not got doing right all figured out. And notice, if you would, A, he stopped and bought land in Cana at Shalem, which was a city of Shechem. B, he built an altar for the Lord at his new home. So he's really trying to set up the opportunity to do right. C, he worshiped at the altar after he named it after God, his God. But then notice Roman numeral 2. Sometimes we are in a place where sin comes easy, either to us or to those around us. Now, in this case, the sin came easy to his family, specifically to his daughter. So you and I have to realize that we're different than the world. And the reason why is in A, notice if you would, and this is a key point. The world does not have the same definition of sin as God does. Shechem didn't see taking Dinah's purity as a sin. He loved her. So if I love her, I can do anything I want. Well, you notice, one, we should watch where we go. You and I have to be very careful. There are a lot of people who say, I got a good neighborhood. And, you know, the kids play. You have to be very careful because the kids of the world are not like the kids of Christians. At least there should be a difference. And we have to be very careful. We sort of had the policy, Jeremy, we'd have friends and they would come to our house so we could watch them. didn't ever really let him go to somebody else's house, especially not people of the neighborhood, but would have them over. And so we tried to watch out because of this very principle. You have to be very careful. Well, notice if you would, two in the outline, leave as soon as possible if we know it's wrong place for our family. If there's evil going on, you have to be very careful. I remember getting a job for Jeremy. Maybe he'll remember. He got a job working at a construction company, and the first day or two, I think it was, he was offered drugs on the site. And he came home, and he said, "Dad, I don't think this is the right thing that should happen, but these guys offer me drugs, or they're doing drugs on the job site, and I'm not sure what to do about it." I said, "Well, you're going to go in and we're going to quit." And this was somebody we knew that owned the company. So the idea is you don't put your family in a position that you are sure there could be problems. Now, there is no place where Christians go to work that's sweet and godly unless it's a church or a Christian school or some place where Christians labor and they're trying to please the Lord. There's not enough of those places for everybody in the world to work, all Christian. And besides that, God puts Christians in worldly places so that we can be a light to the world. But you have to be careful of your sons and daughters. You have to be careful of people in your family that are a little bit weaker here or there. Maybe they need some strengthening. Well, here, Jacob, you'll notice, and keep in mind, his name was changed, but it doesn't seem like God is using his new name yet in Scripture. That'll tell us a little bit. He's trying, but not there yet. Now, notice, if you would, in the outline, B, he was in a heathen land. Now, all of us are in a heathen land. So you have to be careful who you as a wife go out to breakfast with or go get coffee with. It does not mean we should not do things like that, but we have to guard our heart. We have to be very careful. We guard our language. We guard the things. All of us have people that in our families are not doing what's right. You can't say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I don't want anything to do with you." You can't do that. But we have to teach ourselves, we have to learn ourselves that I don't share thoughts and let their thoughts come to me, dreams and goals. You might talk about what you do, what they do, something like that, but you have to be very guarded in your heart that you don't, "Oh, I'd like to do that too." So you'll notice what happens in chapter 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. She just wanted to see the other girls of the land, not realizing it was a very dangerous land spiritually. Well, then you'll notice, verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her, lay with her, and defiled her. Now, notice if you would, his family didn't understand the difference between the Israelites who were chosen of God and the people of Shechem. Dinah wanted to meet the new girls on their turf, number two. Three, she was either overwhelmed or raped by the son of Hamor, the chieftain of the people. But we have to be careful. Even men, we're working in our job, and the guys get together and they go, I can remember working as a plumber, and the guys on Friday night would go out and waste half their paycheck. They get drunk, buy each other liquor and smoke and drink it all up, and run around and do all kinds of things. "Hey, you want to go with us?" "No, thank you." "Oh, goody, you're too good for us, huh? No, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, and I don't think it's right for me to do that." "Oh, yeah, you go ahead. We're going to go have fun." I remember those. I remember the jesting and the joking. But my mother and the church that I went to and my youth pastor had taught me, stand up, be careful of the world, be careful of what you listen to, be careful of what you see. There are avenues that all of us in this room, the old devil uses to get to us. One is sight. Two, hearing. Three, touch. All of us have to be careful of those senses because the old devil likes to use them a great deal. to pull us away from the world. Now here's Jacob. He's wanting to worship the Lord, but he's not thinking about his family and his daughters. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, before Shechem then pressed his father to get Dinah for him to marry. This guy seems like a stand-up guy that really fell in love with this girl and just but doesn't live by the same guidelines as the God of heaven gave him. That's still going on today. But there's a God in heaven that writes the definition of sin, and we can't change it. And yet the world absolutely has changed it. Abortion, living together. It's okay to tell a little lie. Homosexuality. You can pick who you want to live with. All of the things that the world changes the definitions. And God's already got the definitions in Scripture. Read Romans 1. It's very clear. So yet you and I have to live in the world. And we have to be sweet and kind and gracious and loving. But we have to guard our hearts. You can see in this chapter the devastation that happens to a family. Now, I want you to notice what happens from here. Many times we make more mistakes. And keep in mind, Jacob just simply wanted to buy a piece of land in where the Hivites were that worship false gods and worship his God. But he didn't apparently think about his family and all the implications the wrong place is. Keep in mind, he didn't have a church. There were no churches in this time. So it's family. He's got to circle the family. Well, notice if you would, I want you to see, look in verse 4. And Shechem spake unto his father, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Oh, she's wonderful. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were in the cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. It's a little curious why Jacob wasn't upset. I think because he's not really paying attention like he should be to his family. Well, notice, says this, and Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. So the father, they're just doing their thing of the world. They're not thinking it's bad, we've done something that's bad. But look, Christians live to a different level than the world. Always have, always will. We're supposed to be honest. The world doesn't have to do that. I remember reading some articles about graduates of college, and I forget 90-something percent of them have cheated to get through school at one point or another. Well, that's not for a Christian. But that's the standard. Everybody does it. What are you worried about? Somebody gets a copy of the teacher's test somehow, some way, and it gets distributed. If there's a Christian there, no, I don't want that. Thank you. I don't want any part of that. Notice, if you would, verse number seven, and the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it. And the men were grieved. Now, that's good. They were grieved. Yes, and they were very wroth. That's good. We're angry because sin has taken a toll in our family. But notice, if you would, why was not that with Jacob's heart? Well, notice, if you would, it says, and because he had wrought folly in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Why ought not to be done? Because God said it shouldn't be done. It's only because they live by the conviction of God, not the conviction of the world, which the Lord's standard's here and the world's standard's here. God keeps us pure and holy. The world is here to get what they want. It doesn't mean they're evil, mean people. They just don't abide by truthfulness is a critical issue of a person's life. Oh, it is for the most part. That's the reason they might take something from work and take it home and not think much about it. Because I see everybody else do it. But it doesn't make it right. You and I have to be very careful that honesty is in our heart. It's a building block of the spirit. And so truthfulness and honesty are building blocks we have to teach our children. The way we apologize by the answer, by the children's story, is we humble ourselves. We try to convince somebody genuinely so that we're sorry. We try to convince the Lord of heaven that we're sorry. We don't just say we're sorry to get past the problem. We try to solve the problem by a genuine, I'm sorry. It takes care of marriages. It makes them sweet. And in your marriage, if there's anything hanging out there, or if there's anything between you, that it takes a, honey, I am sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Would you forgive me? I said it too harshly. I wasn't thinking. Will you forgive me? I did this, or I did that. I'm sorry. To either one. Those are the standards of the Christian, because God wants us to have peace, joy. He wants us to enjoy Him. But we can't enjoy the God of heaven if there's sin in our pockets or in our heart. And so here Jacob, he goes to a foreign land. He's trying to get back home. And he says, I'll just stop here. I'll build me an altar. And he did. But his kids' hearts weren't in the altar. We want to make sure that we take our families with us. Now, notice with me, if you would, the boys have been taught. They all knew better. But, you know, the lure of all the girls that are around, I'm just going to go see. Sort of an innocence there. But then somehow Shechem takes advantage of her. Did she try to yell, fight him off? Did she say, we don't have anything of knowledge there? But notice, if you would, 8. And Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife. Okay, now watch. And make ye marriages with us, and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and ye shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. So the idea is, look, let's just live together. We'll be all one big happy family. You can worship your God. We'll worship our God, and everything will work great. No, it doesn't work that way. Because understand, the world has a different motive. They're not trying to please the God of heaven. And notice it comes out. Look, if you would, in verse number 21. These men are peaceable with us. So the men and Jacob have asked for something. We're coming back in a minute. It's a pretty big ask. And then they'll give Dinah to them to be married to Shechem. Now, they had no intention of doing it. It was a plot. We're going to look at that in a minute. But the motive for why they wanted to be married, from Shechem's point of view and Hamor's point of view, comes out. Notice what, if you would, in verse number 21. These men are peaceable with us. Hey, these folks are coming to the area. They've moved in. They're peaceable with us. They're good people. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein. Hey, let's do business with them. Notice why. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Hey, there's land for them to buy. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. And notice the next one. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us. We have to do what they've asked, be circumcised, or they won't dwell with us. Now watch. Verse 23, shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent to them. The idea is we'll get all their possessions. Hey, it's going to make us richer. You see the motivation of the world. What's in it for me? Now, let's go back, if you would, in the outline. Notice Roman numeral 3. Jacob's sons planned payback for the abuse of their sister. Now, don't get me wrong. Shechem didn't do the right thing. Dinah didn't do the right thing, as far as we know. However, now her brothers are planning to pay it back. And it doesn't say, notice it, if you would, in the scriptures, notice in verse number 13. After Shechem and his father say, look, we'll pay whatever it takes to get this woman because my son loves her, in verse 12, ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I'll give according as ye say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. So whatever you pay, we'll give you as a dowry. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem, not Jacob. It's like he let his sons take care of things. So Jacob wasn't the strong leader that he should have been. Notice what happens. And they answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully. Now, that's not a part of a Christian's motivation either, to be deceitful, to mislead somebody, to try to trick somebody. So what they decided to do was say, look, we'll make a deal with them. We'll tell them something we want them to do, and then we'll pay them back. Now, notice what happens in verse number 14. They said unto them, we cannot do this thing. We cannot give you our daughter to give our sister to one that is not, that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. Now, they didn't say it's our God would be offended. They said it's a reproach unto us. We don't agree with that. But in this will we consent unto you. If you will be as we, that every male of you be circumcised, then we will give our daughter unto you, and we'll take your daughters to us, and we'll dwell with you, and we'll become one people. So it's a setup. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, A, Shechem asked Jacob and his sons for Dinah in marriage, and he would pay anything for her. B, they tricked, that's the sons of Jacob, tricked Shechem and asked him and his people to be circumcised, and then they could marry Dinah. Now notice, C, after the men of Shechem were circumcised, the son of Jacob surprised them and killed all the males. Now follow with me. Look in verse number 24. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city. Every male was circumcised, and all went out of the gate of his city. It came to pass on the third day, now follow with me, that when they were sore, the two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, there's three sons, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. Payback. Verse 26, and they slew Hamor, Shechem his son, with the edge of the sword, took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. They had let her stay there until they got it solved. I don't know what's wrong with Jacob. But keep in mind, Jacob wants to do what's right, but when it's hard, he doesn't. Folks, the identification of a great Christian is they do what's right under pressure. Today, and what I want you to understand is that we all have opportunities. Today, trying to get things done and my sermon's ready, and we've got somebody to go out and spend some time with that's having surgery. And a lady calls and says, could I get some gas, please? I can't get to work. I can't get home. And so it's like, oh, not today. Anybody ever had something like that happen? Not today. And so in my heart, I got things lined out. I'm doing things. And so I said, okay, if she'll come to church tonight, we'll get her out and get her food. I'd rather have gas. Okay. Tell her to come on. I'll take her down and get her gas. Now keep in mind, attitude and spirit mean a lot. I'm busy. I'm trying to do things. And again, that pace gets me in trouble because I'm trying to do things the way I'm trying to get them done. I got a list of things I'm trying to get done. And so the lady shows up. She's a sweet lady. And so I get my heart right. I give her a track. I said, I want you to read this. It's a story about how to get to heaven. Oh, thank you, Pastor. Very sweet. I take her down to get gas. And keep in mind, all of us get under pressure. All of us need to do the right thing. I'm trying to get gas in that car. My credit card doesn't work. I go up to the guy and he says, okay, go to a different pump. Go to a different pump. My credit card didn't work again. Well, it's your credit card. Oh. Now get a different credit card. It works. And while it's pumping, I look over in the car. And I'm going, you know, gas. Guess what she's reading? The tribe. So then the Lord goes, haven't witnessed to her yet. Long story short, she said, I'd like to be saved, and prayed right there and trusted Christ. I was that close to being too busy. The only reason I'm telling you this is because you thought I was a great Christian. I'm not. I'm working on it. But I get busy like you, and we get under certain things, and no, I'm not out there drinking or cussing or telling dirty jokes, but there are things of sins of commission and sins of omission. James says, if we know we ought to do something, don't do it, it's sin. So I came that close, and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. So now you know the children's story. Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I didn't want to let her see my spirit, but inside I was frustrated. Anybody ever been like that but me? All I'm trying to say to you is that I want to have the right spirit inside and not just outside. So the challenge is, Pastor Pittman, always have the right spirit. Always be looking to see if someone needs to trust Christ as Savior. Do you realize that lady's destination was changed from heaven to hell forever for $38 worth of gas? And I almost missed it. All I'm trying to say is, awareness of spiritual things is important. Jacob takes his family in. I'm going to build an altar right here. He does. He calls it after God. He worships there. And his daughter's going off. And he doesn't even notice it. And then he's all upset about it. But when his daughter gets mistreated, then all of a sudden he says, hey, boys, guess what? And he lets the boys take care of it. Now, the story is not that they just kill them. Notice what happens. Look in verse number 27. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. It was payback. They took everything from them. They killed the husbands and left the wives and the children there and took all their stuff. Now keep in notice, they took their sheep, verse 28, their oxen, their asses, that which was in the city and that which was in the field, and all their wealth and all their little ones. And their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. And Jacob said unto Simeon, oh, you guys owe the Lord an apology. You need to make this right. Ye have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites. I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me. And I shall be destroyed, I and my house. Do you get a little picture into Jacob still has this mindset, me. I want my brother's blessing. I want this. I want Rachel. I want. God's already renamed him and said, you're a prince with me. Because he has flashes of, I want to do what's right, Lord. I'm so sorry, forgive me. You've helped me make things right with my brother. I'm so appreciative, thank you. I want to worship you. So there are flashes doing what's right. But folks, if we want to have God's rich blessing, we have to consistently, day by day, do what's right. And that's the goal, that all of us could learn from Jacob and his family, this horrendous event in their life. You'll notice now then, I want you to see this, and I want you to see the graciousness of God. 31, and they, the brothers, said, should he deal with our sisters with a harlot? Now they were right, but they were all wrong with the handling. Notice chapter 35, verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, rise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. And make thee there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Hey, why don't you just get right and come back home to Bethel? Now, Bethel is the place of the presence of God in all of our lives. Tell me the time you've been the closest to the Lord. That's Bethel. What did you do to get there? We humble ourselves. We told the Lord we're sorry. We had intentions to do what's right. Now, folks, that's why you come to church. That's why you read your Bible. That's why you talk to the Lord. We have devotions to build yourself in your heart so that you can fulfill the intentions that are good in your heart. Jacob's not doing that. His sons are not doing that. They have the right intentions, and in flashes, they go in, we're going to pay this to people back. They can't treat our daughter that way. And they kill all the families and take the money. They should have never done all that. But they wanted to make a wrong right. So here you and I, there are times when we want to make wrongs right. That's the reason the Lord said, look, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You and I treat people right to do us wrong. So understand, all I'm trying to say to you here in this passage is Jacob has got flashes of wanting to do what's right. And then he'll just not follow through on his intentions. His sons and families are the same way. You and I want for our church to have the right intentions and the right actions. But that requires building up in Him. It requires spiritual growth from all of us. It requires coming to church with the intention of learning something tonight. How to apologize. What to look for in life. Lord, I want to do what's right. Go back to Bethel. Stay at Bethel, the place you were closest to the Lord. And notice, if you would, then verse 2. And this is amazing to me. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, what's the next phrase? Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Oh, you mean you knew they were worshiping other gods? Well, why didn't you take care of that before you worshiped God of heaven? Do you see all of the... I intend for my family to do what's right. I know that these gods are worshiping false gods. You know, when people don't obey the Lord, whenever they don't have a heart for the Lord, they're not going to obey the Lord. And his sons are a perfect example. So you and I have to learn the lesson. Now notice, if you would, D in the outline, the brothers got their payback but displeased Jacob. Roman numeral 4, the Lord asked Jacob to move to Bethel. When they went, God protected them. This is the amazing part to me. Jacob and his family do terrible things that are wrong. And Jacob doesn't handle things right. His sons doesn't handle things right. Their daughter's been abused. And then notice what happens. The Lord says, look, come back to Bethel. And notice, if you would, in verse number 3. And let us arise. He talks to his family and said, let's get up and go to Bethel. Notice this. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. That's what we do. We tell our families that our God is real, that he's answered our prayers, and that when I've gone to him, he's taking care of me. And notice, and was with me in the way which I went. That's what we have to tell our families. That's what you tell your mate, your husband, your wife. I remember when God answered my prayer. I remember when I was close to him. That's what we do. And it strengthens everybody's faith. Now notice this. In verse 4, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak tree which was by Shechem. I don't know that that's really getting rid of the world. Now notice this, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. It's like God says, I'll protect you. Now, folks, I think God is overly good to all of us. He protects us even when we only have good intentions, but only so long. There's a point where we got to say, I want to do what's right, and I'm going to fulfill it with actions. All of us in this room, my prayer for you is that you have the desire to do what's right. But not only that, you do the things that help you do what's right. You say, Lord, I want you to know I'm sorry for my sin, and I want you to give me the directions that I need. Give me the eyes I need to have. Give me the ears I need to have. The scripture clearly says, give me your ears. The Lord Jesus did. I want you to hear what I'm saying. We have to listen to the word of God when we read it, study it. We have to say, Lord, You say something to me, I'm listening. And what I hear, I will do. If we have the wrong language, give it up. Change it. If they have the wrong thoughts, ask the Lord to forgive us and change it. Folks, that's the only way we can walk with the Lord. But remember this, the Lord goes with us when we do. And that's what this passage says. God sent the terror to the people to not follow. God protected him, and he'll protect you and I if we just do our part, which is, Lord, I want you first. I'm listening. I'm watching. I'm reading. I will obey. Tonight, let's not be like Jacob. Now, his name changes in the next chapter, and he begins to actually do what's right. Let's bow forward to prayer tonight, if you would. Let's not sidestep the will of God. Let's fully follow the Lord. Young people, let's not sidestep the will of God. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts tonight? I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, to learn the lessons that we see in Jacob's life, that we would intend to do what's right and follow through with it by your strength and grace. In your name we pray.